You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today and yesterday, the UN is voting for the 29th time on a resolution against US economic, commercial and financial embargoes against Cuba. It coincides with the 60th anniversary of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Today, I spoke to the Cuban ambassador to New Zealand, Edgardo Valdez Lopez, on the matter and started by asking what the Cuban people's perspectives on the event of the Cuban Missile Crisis are.
Well, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis was a result of a very aggressive policy that the U.S. Government developed towards Cuba since 1959, when the Cuban Revolution triumphed. You have to take into consideration that in April 1961, Cuba was militarily invaded. There were more plans. That invasion was defeated in less than 72 hours, and as a result of that, the U.S. government was planning a direct military invasion in Cuba afterwards. So Cuba was under a lot of pressures and a lot of risk, and we were very concerned about our security. And at that time, it was a moment of a lot of tension because Cubans were ready to defend our sovereignty at any cost. And at the end of the day, it resulted that there was an agreement and the crisis was resolved, but we were ready to even disappear from the map in order to not to give up our independence. The agreement that was achieved between at that time the Soviet Union and the U.S. did not take into consideration Cuban concerns, because if it is true that the U.S. government gave assurances to the USSR that they would not invade Cuba, there were many other actions and sanctions that kept into place and that are continuing until nowadays. For example, the U.S. have a blockade against Cuba. In 2 days, the General Assembly of the United Nations will be considering a resolution that is called the necessity of ending the U.S. commercial, economic, and financial blockade against Cuba. This resolution has been adopted by the General Assembly 29 times, and the U.S. is not doing anything regarding this. So, in that moment, if it is true that the nuclear threat disappeared because of the negotiations and everything, the results that we were expecting were not achieved, and we are still suffering the consequences. So, in general, I would say in very few words that we were not happy with the decision. We were not happy with the way that it was solved. But at the same time, you know, the positive side of this was that there was not a direct confrontation between two important superpowers.
And do you think that Western nations in general acknowledge the Cuban perspective enough in discourse surrounding the event?
No. Unfortunately, you know, nowadays, especially, the ones that control the important networks and social media and everything are the ones who decide when you start to analyze a historic event or something. Then usually the most widespread version of the crisis begins when the efficient U.S. espionage apparatus discovered that the Soviet Union is installing missiles in Cuba. But nobody mentions that the U.S. has already established missiles in Turkish territory. Nobody mentions the Bay of Pigs invasion in 1961 in Cuba, and nobody mentions a lot of plans aimed at justifying new military invasions against Cuba that were taking place at that time. So the crisis was not the result of any aggressive stand on the part of Cuba or the Soviet Union, but because of the threatening and aggressive policy that the U.S. was developing towards Cuba and the USSR.
So as you mentioned, the UN General Assembly has approved such a motion of a resolution against US sanctions against Cuba 29 times in a row. Do you believe that this time will have a different outcome?
No. In every occasion, it has been approved by the overwhelming majority of the UN General Assembly. In fact, only the US and Israel voted against that resolution in the last voting. We hope that this year it will be approved, that it will be approved by the big majority of countries. But what we don't think will change is that the U.S. Is not taking into consideration the objective of this resolution. Now, they are talking a lot about a war based on rules. They are talking a lot about the role of the United Nations. They are presenting themselves as defenders of the United Nations. But at the same time, they have not been taken into consideration 29 resolutions, and we hope that 30 resolutions against the policy towards Cuba for many, many years now.
So to speak specifically about the blockades, how have they been hindering the Cuban state's efforts to, for example, meet the objectives of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development? How has the blockade been hindering Cuba as a nation?
Well, it hinders every aspect of our life. For example, not only in Cuba, also in other countries, for Cubans in other countries, and for other countries in their relations with Cuba. You know, everything is very difficult for Cuba. You know, for example, if we cannot buy any product that contains more than 10% of American components, and this is very difficult nowadays in the world to find products that do not have. And no country is allowed to buy Cuban products that have more than 10% of Cuban components. So it affects our relationship with the whole world. We usually, in the past, had a lot of trade with the U.S. It's very close. They had good and cheap products and everything. And now we have to go through China or Vietnam or Europe in order to buy the same products, so we have to pay a higher price. We have to spend a lot of money in transportation and everything, so it has an impact in the Cuban population. But even inside, outside of Cuba, for example, Cubans are limited to make bank operations, including our embassy here in New Zealand have difficulty in operating with the banks because of the U.S. regulations, because it has an extraterritorial effect. And it has an important impact in our efforts to comply with the Agenda 2030, because it affects all aspects of our economy, our social life, and everything. We are doing a great effort in order to comply with this objective, and we are getting some results, but it's extremely difficult for us. For example, during the COVID pandemic, we were not allowed to buy vaccines. We were not able to buy vaccines outside. We have to develop our own vaccines. We were successful, and we have the pandemic under control in Cuba. The borders are open. People are able to visit the country, and the economy is starting to recover. But we always have more difficulties because it was difficult for us to get access to equipment, to raw materials in order to produce the vaccines. And it's always the same with all the situations that we face. We have more difficulties than any other country in order to solve any of the regular or normal problems that any country has. This is not something that only affects the Cuban people. It also affects New Zealand companies and people. You know, I have had some emails from New Zealand citizens that have a relative in Cuba, and they want to send them a gift for a birthday or spend some money to help them with their studies there or something like that, and they cannot do that because the banks would not accept this kind of transactions. And New Zealand companies that have trade with Cuba have difficulties in order to pay for the products that they buy in Cuba because of all these regulations. Nowadays, there are some new measures trying to prevent New Zealanders to travel to Cuba, and they have to apply for a special visit to enter the United States if they visit Cuba. So every time there are new measures trying to tighten this embargo blockade, And these measures do not affect only Cubans, but also all other countries and citizens around the world.
That was me speaking to the Cuban ambassador to New Zealand, Edgardo Valdez Lopez, about the 60th anniversary of the Cuban Missile Crisis and US sanctions against Cuba.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.